I've been talking to you about the year of opportunity that God has given us and how that in that year of opportunity, there are many facets to the opportunity of God's blessing. I want to talk to you, last week I talked to you about a widow from Zarephath. Do you remember that? How God used her? How it was an open door and she didn't realize the blessing that was there. She was ready to quit, give up, walk away. But it was an open door to blessing in her life. I want to talk about another widow this time. The widow of Zarephath just had a little cup of oil and a little bit of flour, but it stayed. How many believe God stayed the cup of flour and the cup of oil? During the time of the drought, and during the time that she took care of the prophet. That's Elijah. Now we go to a new prophet by the name of Elisha. Elisha caught the mantle from Elijah. When he was pulled into glory, the Bible says that Elisha followed him very closely. And he couldn't be shook. He went wherever he went. He stayed wherever he stayed until the taking up of that great prophet. And the Bible says that when Elijah was carried up into the presence of God in the heavens, that his mantle fell. Gary, I'm just a little bit hot right up here on the stage, but don't, my voice isn't that terribly strong today, I think. But the anointing has a tendency to make it too strong. Sometimes. The anointing fell, and I talked about anointings last week. You came up and you said, I want that anointing. I want that new thing in my life. I want that power that God has for me in my life. And God granted great anointings this last week. I want you to understand that God gave you that anointing that was already in you. He energized it. He sparked it so that you would begin to start using that anointing. And that's what Elisha did, the understudy of Elijah. He had the anointing of Elijah. He asked for a double portion. What is that? That's the first son in a Jewish family has the right to have twice as much as all the rest of the sons. And so it's called the double portion. So he went to God and said, I want that first son's inheritance spiritually from Elijah, my spiritual father, and I want you to give it to me, Lord. And so he stuck with him until he received it, and as he received it, he began to use it. Now we talk about another widow with oil again, the same kind of circumstances, but in a different perspective. This is found in 2 Kings chapter 4. And starts with verse 1. And the Bible says, now there was a woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets who cried out and listened to that word. She cried out. We were just taught last Sunday night by Dr. James Finn, my brother-in-law, how the power of crying out works, how that works with God. When we pray, it's one thing to pray, but when we cry out to God in our spirit, that's something that God pays special attention to. And the Bible says that this woman cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. So she's saying, you're talking to a godly home. My husband was a pastor, and we served God, and he was faithful in God as a son of the prophet, and he ministered to God. But for some reason, in God's wisdom and his plan, it was his idea, God's plan, to take my husband, and he passed from this life, and now I have me and my two sons. And when he left us, he also left us in debt. And I need you to help me because of this reason. Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. She said, I've got a bill that has to be paid. I have a debt that cannot be satisfied in any other way than the people we owe are going to take my two sons, not just 8 to 5, they're taking them, and they will work the debt load out over the years. And I'm going to be left now with not only without a husband, I'm going to be left without sons and providers. And I'm asking you as a child of God to do something about it and to help us in this situation. Chapter 4, verse 2, Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house except for a jar of oil. Now, I did some research on this and looked into it a little bit, and this is what she was actually saying in Aramaic or in Latin or in Greek or in Hebrew, any one thing you want to. She said, I don't even have a couch left. I've sold everything in my house, and the only thing left in my house is a jar of oil. She really meant what she was saying. I've sold out trying to take care of a debt that's bigger than I am. I've given away, I've sold, I've had garage sales, I've put it on eBay, and it's all gone. And I'm coming to you, and I'm telling you that it's all gone, but I still have this debt, and I'm asking God to do something for me. Now, I don't know about you, but I've heard this scripture. It says God helps those that help themselves, which is not a scripture. It's baloney. I very quickly find out that I can't help myself, and I've got to have God's help. I don't have to get down to that place where I've sold every stick of furniture I own, and I don't have any more, but I have been in a place where I was willing to, if that's what I needed to do. Because debt is a heavy thing. You don't think about anything else when you have debt, except that looms over you, because there's things that are associated with having debt. There's penalties. There's your integrity. There's your name. There's the fact, the penalties that are involved that can take away that, even to the point of becoming criminal. And you really want some help, but it's hard to, when you've gotten rid of everything that you own, to come up with something. She said, I don't have anything. Your maidservant has nothing. Do you see that? Let me find it on there. Yes. I don't have anything, nothing in this house except for a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels, and do not get a few, and you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons, and you'll pour out into all the vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. So she's listening to this instruction. And the prophet's saying, I want you to go get your two boys, and I want you to go to everybody in town, in your village, and ask them, do you have an old pot or a pan or an empty pickle jar or anything you've got? I'll take it. And they come back with some of the craziest looking containers you've ever imagined. I mean, you know, everything someone didn't want. Everything someone wasn't using. Everything that they could have probably discarded with and not lost any sleep over it. And they brought all of these vessels back that were really kind of no great value. I doubt if anyone said, oh, this was a pot that my mother had and her mother had before her, and we're going to give it to you. No, they didn't do that. They said, yeah, there's no tin pan out on the back porch. You might have a crack or a hole in it, I don't think. And you look at it and go, no, it's okay, then you can have it. Yeah, I got 5 pickle jars in the back. Why do you use pickle jars? Because I have some ladies that make the best pickles in the world here. And I empty those pickle jars. And I would have gladly let them have those pickle jars They just came and got all kinds of vessels. And they brought them back to the house, and they have this enormous amount of vessels. The floor is full of containers. And she takes this jar of oil, and he says, pour into it until it quits pouring, and then set it aside. Let me explain to you what spiritual connotation is. Fill it with oil, and then sanctify it to be set aside for a purpose. The purpose was twofold. Number one, it was to pay off the debt, and number two, to let them live. So the Bible says that, let's go on just a little bit further. The Bible says, so she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. Now, if you have an 8-ounce jar of oil and you pour it out in yourself, it's going to go into another 8-ounce jar, and you're going to have an empty one, and that one's going to be full. Yes, you can say, look, it filled it up, but your original one is empty now, so you're no further ahead than you were. You just transferred oils, all you did. But she found something out when she was obedient to the prophet that began to surprise her. She found out that when you obey God, when you obey the voice of God, that this oil that you have is not like any other oil. Now, she remembers buying it and putting it in the house, and she remembers having enough to where after she sold the couches and chairs and beds, television, everything that meant a lot to her, everything she still had this oil because it was a partial container, but she had this jar of oil. So she said, there's nothing to me special about this, but I was told by God to take that jar of oil and to pour it, and whenever I poured it in something, to set it aside. So in the kind of faith that a lot of us had, the first container she got was a small container. How many one of those baby food jars? And let me pour some in there. What are you laughing at? That's a safe transfer of faith. I know it'll fill that up, but I'll still have a little bit left in here. So she fills up the baby jar food, and when she gets done, she sets the jar down and she sets over to the side. She looks back, and the jar is at its original place. She goes, now that's coincidental. That's strange. So she says, give me that pickle jar. It's a little bit bigger. And she pours in it, hands it to her son. She says, set it over there, and looks back, and the jar's still full. And she's saying, this is strange, but I'm going to continue to obey. And she says, give me that quart container. And she takes an 8-ounce jar of oil, and she pours, and it fills up the quart, and she looks immediately at that jar, and it's still full. And she says, give me a gallon jug. You see how her faith was built? God allows you to build your faith. When Moses was called in the desert, he was called by God to do a very great thing. But he had to grow in faith and understand the power of the anointing of God. The oil has always been associated with the Holy Spirit, and the oil has always been associated with anointing. The anointing of God, the power of God. So Moses is out in the desert, and he gets called by God, and he hears the voice of God coming out of a burning bush, and it's not just a spontaneous combustion that happens in the desert. This is a raging fire. It's like a torch coming out of it, and it's so big and so powerful. It calls to his attention, and he goes over to it, and the voice in that bush tells him that I'm calling you, and you're going to be used by me. And by the way, where the area you're standing is holy ground, take your shoes off and respect me. And all I want to hear from you is a yes. That's all you need to tell me is yes, because I'll provide everything. The oil The anointing of God on your life will provide everything you need for what God calls you for. And so when he gets done with this confrontation with God and he hears the voice of God coming out of this bush, then all of a sudden he looks down and he's got his shepherd's crook. Now it's the same shepherd's crook that he's had in the past when he holds it up. It wasn't any newer. It wasn't any nicer. It wasn't anything other than what he had had. And the Lord said, "What do you have in your hand?" The prophet asked her, "What do you have in your house?" She'd gone down to a jar of oil. He said, "I don't have anything but a hook that I use to bring sheep back with and to hold sheep at bay when I want to use them." God said to him, he said, lay the thing down on the ground. He lays it down and it becomes, and if you study this in Hebrew, it became like a 10-foot long cobra. It was not a pet black snake. It became a dangerous viper. And God said to him, "Go pick it up now." And Moses said to God, "You pick it up." And we've done the same thing. And then we get into this wisdom baloney. I'm going to explain something to you. Don't try to use man's wisdom and God's intelligence. Don't try to mix the two. Obedience supersedes your understanding of anything. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's not from God. It doesn't mean God didn't plan for it to be. He said, "Go pick it up." And so Moses goes over and he pours a little oil in a baby jar. He reaches down in the back of it and he touches the tail of that serpent and it immediately becomes that stave again. And he goes, "Well, I'll be." So God says, "Throw it down again." And this went on back and forth until finally Moses had moved up to a gallon jar. He was walking up and just picking it up by the tail now and holding it, pretty proud of himself. And then the Lord said, "Grab it by the head next time. I want to see your faith grow." And Moses had to go back and see how God helped him fill the baby jar with oil, and then the pickle jar with oil, and then the quart jar, and then the gallon, and he thought, "Why not?" And the next time he throws it down, he touches the head of that snake, and when he touches the head of that snake, that snake becomes a shepherd's crook again, and he picks it up this time with a little more authority because he sees the consistency of the word of God and the consistency of obedience. When my brother and I, who's sitting here from Kansas City, when Steve and I were little boys, for some reason, Mom and Dad got us those little chicks on Easter that are blue and yellow and purple. You know what I mean? The little baby chicks. And I'm sure the ACLU would sue us now for having one for cruelty because they were not treated good. And we had a little baby chick. And we did something, I don't know what we did, but we finally played with it too much and the chick died. So Steve takes the chick to my dad, and he's just a little bitty fella, and we had this little place where we lived behind this old shed called the greenhouse. And we were there, and Dad came outside and he says to Dad, "You're a pastor, you know, you're a preacher. Here's a little five-year-old boy," and he's saying, "Heal the chicken." And Dad looked at the chicken. The chicken was, he was dead. Clinically, biologically, past repair, dead. He'd been played with too much. So here he is, and he hands my father, who's a Pentecostal preacher, who's a Jew born in Kentucky that lives under this cloud of being a Jew. He has a Methodist mother and an uncle that serve God and love God and bring him into the truth. But he just come into this thing called Pentecost. It's a new thing to him. And he's not sure what he has, what kind of strength he has, what kind of ability he has in God. And my brother hands him a dead chicken and says, "Heal it." So my father takes the chicken. He puts his hand over the top. I have no idea what his plan was, and I asked him later, and he said he had no idea what his plan was. But he put the chicken in his hand, and he laid it, his hand on top of it. And this, I can still remember, I was a little 2 years older, and I can still remember what my father said. He said, "Father, honor the faith of these two little boys that have put this chick in my hand, and God, let it come back to life." And he took his hand off, and the chicken stood up in his hand, and my dad went, "Well, I'll be." I'll be. And he said, "There you go." And the chicken grew up and became Sunday dinner in about 6 months. He took a little bit of that oil. Pastor Stewart, is that you back there? Wave at everybody. There is a great man of God right there. Pastor Stewart. Good night. Good to see you, Sister Stewart. He had the guts, can I say it that way, the spiritual fortitude to take the oil that he had. Turn me down just a little, Gary. I'm starting to feel better. Can you do that? He had the courage to do with what he had, to do something so great because of God in his life, that he was able to take that. He was able to take that serpent and work with that serpent. My father was able to take that jar of oil he had and pour it into something far greater than him. He could pour it into the resurrection of a little chicken for his faith and for the faith of his sons. And we believed. I'm going to tell you something. We were born in Pentecost. I was raised in it. And these are the things that built my faith, to see what God did. I remember one day when my father and I pulled up to the front end of our old house out in the middle of the country, and there was a man, I've told you the story before, laying out on the front porch with a light cloth over his body because cancer had eaten its way all the way outside of his stomach and his entrails, and his stomach was exposed, and the stench was so bad that when he pulled up, it was a warm day, but I rolled the windows up and told Dad, "I think I'll just sit in the car. You go do what you want to do." And Dad was going to go pray for that man. That man was past repair. He was dying. The family loved him, but they had to put him on the porch because of the stench in this backwoods area where I come from. And my dad got out of the car and walked around there. Brian, you might lower me just a little bit more. I'm feeling it now. My dad got out of the car and walked up to this man, and the family came out and said, "Brother Conley, thank you for coming and praying." But I'll tell you the kind of prayer they had, last rites. They were praying last rites. "Praise you. Thank you, Lord. Don't let him suffer too much. Don't let him, God, not have to go through this much longer. Kill him, do something, relieve his pain." And my father got out with a jar of oil. He'd just seen a chicken come back to life. And he was getting ready to pour it not only into a baby jar, now he was going to pour it into a quart. Dad walked up and said, "If you're the God that can take care of a baby chicken and bring it to life, if you're the God that can take a Jew and cause him to understand that Yeshua is mastering, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if you're the God that can heal me and save me and deliver me." Anyone in here been delivered from sin? Been set free from sin? He delivered you. If you're the God that can do that, he put his hand right there in the wrong place on that man, and he began to pray, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to do what doctors can't do and what no one else can do. Father God, in Jesus' name, heal this man." And I'm going to tell you what happened. When they took the sheet off, because the stench immediately left, and when the family came out and heard it, this man was starting to move and talk, and when they took the sheet off, his stomach was like it was before he ever had any sickness, and he was healed. You see, I know what it's like to pour the oil from a quart into a gallon. And I'm telling you that my father had no more training or no ability or no more anything than you have today. God wants to take the anointing that you have and that you receive, and he wants to use it for you to grow. He is a good God. He is the God. There is no God beside him, but he's patient and loving, and he isn't going to throw you out if you mess up the first time or if you just want to touch the tip of the snake's tail. He's going to stick with you until you learn the voice of God, until you learn the word of God, until you grow to a point that you have the faith to grab that snake by a head and let it come back and be a staff that's going to slap the Red Sea and watch it part in the name of Jehovah Jireh. You see, God is using every one of us in a way greater than we can imagine. This woman began to pour. So she went in from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. And they were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. And when the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." And he said to her, "There is none, not one, no more." And the oil stopped at that point. It didn't quit, it stopped. It's just waiting for another vessel. It stopped at that point. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." Woo-hoo. In debt to the point I lost my husband, I'm going to lose my sons, I'm going to lose my house, I'm going to lose everything I have, and I'm going to probably starve to death someplace. From that point to the point of trusting God and obeying God and using what she had in her to do what God could do through her, and she began to pour the oil. My friends, listen to me, and I want you to understand this. The oil that represents the anointing that you have, that everyone has, is something that we all are given by God. If you look at 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. In chapter 2, he's talking about the day we're living in. It's the last hour. Chapter 2, verse 18 says, "Children, it's the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, and now many Antichrists have appeared, from this we know that is for this we know it's the last hour. They went out from us." They're talking about false prophets and Antichrist. And the church is permeated with false prophets today that are proclaiming a gospel that doesn't line up with the word of God. They're talking about a Jesus that doesn't line up with the deity of the God we know. They're preaching something that lines their own pockets but doesn't help the kingdom of God. They're lying about who they are and thinking God is looking past it. But my friends, listen to me. They may come out of the church. They may have fallen into false doctrine, but there are still some truth. There are still some men and women that's proclaiming the gospel, the full gospel, and the word of God without compromise. So he said, "We know these false prophets are going to come. Don't worry about them. They went out from us," verse 19, "but they were not really with us, for us. For if they had been for us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are not with us." But listen to verse 20. This is the powerful one. This has to do with you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 is talking to every child of God from that day to this day. If you're saved and you're a child of God, say amen. That I'm speaking to you. I speak directly to you without any separation of race, creed, color, intelligence, financial status, or social standing. I'm talking to you who have the blood of Jesus applied to your life, and you are saved and redeemed. You've been delivered from the curse of sin. If you have, say praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Lift your hands and wave at him, because he has taken out the curse in your life and he's delivered you. Now he said this for all of you that just did that. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And you all know. You said, man, I didn't know, Pastor. I hadn't seen that before. Or I read that wrong. I read that differently. Well, I want you to understand it. I want you just to take a minute. And I want it to come into you. While you're trying to qualify yourself to God. While you're trying to tell God, I'll just do anything you want me to. I'll sweep the street. I'll do anything you ask me to do. Just use me. And you're wanting to be used by God. I want you to understand, you don't have to drum up something that's already happened to you. You have an anointing. You've got a jar of oil, every one of you. If you believe that, say amen. You have the ability that God has given you. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you all know, I have not written to you because you did not know the truth, but because you do know it. And because no lie is of the truth. I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, regardless of your age, regardless of your intellect. You, as a child of God, have a jar of oil. When you've dumped out the rest of everything else, when you've emptied yourself of the world, when you've emptied yourself of sin, when you've decided to go all the way for Jesus, you have something left that's the most practical, positive, powerful thing that a human being can have. You have a gift from the Almighty God that's guaranteed in the Holy Scripture. You have a jar of oil. Every one of you. So why were you delivered? Why were you saved? Was it only to keep you from going to hell? Everyone say no. You were not only delivered, but you were, and this is the title of the message today, more than delivered.
Yes.
You hear me?
Yes.
You can look at anybody and say, I'm more than delivered. Say it with me. I'm more than delivered. More than delivered, not just saved to prevent me from going to hell. But I was saved with purpose. I was saved with a calling. I was saved with an anointing reserved for me to be used in the place that God has for me to be. I was just talking to some good friends the other day, and my friend said, I know what my calling is now. God showed me, and he was right. It was right there in front of us. It was as clear as a bell. This is a gift. This is a talent, and it can be used to bring glory to God. Anytime you use your gift, your life, to bring glory to God, you're exercising that jar of oil God's given you. You were more than delivered. Jesus not only paid your sin debt, he filled you with the oil of purpose. Did you hear what I said? He filled you with the oil of purpose. Throughout the entire Word of God, the third member of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, is symbolized as oil. The oil of anointing was the symbol God used to identify an anointing that separated and sanctified men and women for his called purpose. God confirmed the anointings by enhancing abilities that were already part of people's lives. Let's do it again. I want you to hear this. I want you to understand, oh, I got to go to school. I have to go to seminary. I have to go. Listen to what I'm saying. God confirmed the anointings by enhancing abilities that were already part of people's lives. Moses' rod, Daniel's consistent worship, David's sling, Naomi's loyalty, Abraham's unwavering faith, a widow's obedience, and a little boy's lunch were part of who they were. But God anointed them to change the world. When you do anything or use any area of your life to the glory of God, whether you realize it or not, you're being used by God under His anointing that will draw people to Jesus through your life. I hear people say, I'd like to be used by God, to do something for God. My friend, if you know Jesus today, it's impossible for you to not have an anointing in your life. It's just a matter of recognizing it and recognizing what you have and how God can use it to His glory. That's all it is. Just understanding that you have it and how God can use it to His glory. First, you must realize who you are and what you have. The Bible says that when you're saved, you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever read that? If you have, say amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit symbolized by oil. That's at salvation. The Holy Spirit indwells you. He not only just forgives you of your sins, He not only exonerates you so that you're not going to hell, He not only delivers you, but you're more than delivered because now you become the temple and the dwelling place of God. You become the temple of the Holy Spirit. You get that jar of oil directly from God. For that reason, your relationship with the Holy Spirit, now listen to this very closely, because this is very important for you to understand. For that very reason, your relationship with the Holy Spirit is the most essential element of your spiritual life. Did you hear me? Your relationship with the Holy Spirit is the most essential element of your spiritual life. The Holy Spirit was given to us in the same way Jesus was given to us. He, the Holy Spirit, is God who indwells you and me. Can you say amen? Amen. He changes our perception. This is why it's important to know Him. This is why it's important to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He changes our perception of who God is by bringing us into an intimate place that can never be duplicated or counterfeited or satisfied by any pleasure, treasure, or accomplishment. The Holy Spirit makes God real and relevant to your life. Believe me when I tell you, I'm not here today to argue denominational doctrines or persuade you to join the charismatic club or to sway you into becoming a tongue talker. I'm here to tell you from an absolute objective conclusion that when you acknowledge the Holy Spirit in your life, you're acknowledging God. Amen. When you sense His presence, you learn to know the voice of God. He speaks to your heart. Then you'll begin to grow in relationship with God, to hear and to know the voice of God. To be led and embrace the Holy Spirit is to know God in a greater measure. He is God in you. You are more than delivered. You are called and equipped. And given treasures that are more than enough in your life. You are given treasures that were more than enough in your life. You were given enough oil to fill every empty vessel you come in contact with. Are you listening to me? Every empty vessel you come in contact with. Several years ago, He's in heaven now. But I had a friend that was with men, and probably some ladies, but with men, he was a very famous man. His name was Charles Buck, Chuck Buck. His father invented a knife called a buck knife. Anyone ever had a buck knife? Know what I'm talking about? Chuck and Lori Buck would come through this part of the country, and they would come to our house. And I would take Chuck to breakfast, and I'd always invite friends there, because when Chuck Buck sat down by you, Chuck Buck served God, and then he had a horrible fall in his life, and he failed and walked away from God. But God pursued him, and the hounds of heaven chased him and showed him his love. And God brought him back. Are you listening to me? Look at me. God brought him back into a close relationship with him. He never lost that jar of oil. He just misplaced it. Chuck would sit down at the table, and you'd be talking to him, and not in 5 minutes, Chuck would say, you know, the whole history of the butt knife was because of Jesus. And he'd go directly to pouring oil into somebody. He didn't care if you were saved or lost. Sometimes the saved needs to hear this. Sometimes we need to be encouraged. Sometimes we need to know what we already know, but hear it from another source. He would say, this company was given to my father because of a dream of a knife he created. And God's blessed this company. And he would start testifying. He would pour oil. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to have somebody else's story to pour oil, because the story of your salvation, if you were saved, my wife was probably saved the second she had the understanding of who God was under her mother's leadership. Probably 3 or 4 or 5 years old. I rebelled a little. I was 18 before I came to Jesus. But when I did, I received that jar. And it doesn't matter who you are. If you're a child of God today, you've got that jar, and you've got the ability to use that to pour into. You're not here by accident, Vivian, Sarah. Africa's a long ways away. This is your home. We're your people. God's given you an oil that's so perfect for you, and a lane for you. It's one God gave us. We pour it out every time we get around somebody. Chuck would fill every vest he could get around. God's given us this enormous ability. And this woman found out that every time she poured everything she had out, that God filled it back up again. He empowered her. He showed her. He showed her that this oil that she had was greater. He showed her that its supply was unlimited. He showed her that this oil couldn't fail. She was found out to find that this oil had great value. And she found out it came from God. And it fit every container when she poured it in. It fit every container. I'm talking to a church today that's hungry for a move of God. I'm talking to people today that are wanting more than just a pseudo relationship with God. I'm talking to people that are wanting to know, how do I break through into the presence of God? How do I get what God has for me? I want you to first understand that you're more than just delivered. Yes, you were saved, but not saved to set, not saved to just go to heaven. You were saved with purpose. And that oil God has given you is so specific for you, because you will come around vessels I won't come around. You'll be in the presence of vessels that I won't be in the presence. I'll be in the presence of vessels you won't be in the presence of. But all it amounts to is, How willing are you to pour out of the jar of oil that God has given you? There's a chorus that I love, and it sets us in that place to where we can start to feel and see the presence and hear the voice of God. It's a chorus of praise. I want you to stand to your feet with me. And we're going to begin to worship God. And when you begin to worship God, here's what I'm going to tell you this today. Are you listening? When you begin to worship the Holy Spirit, God, you say, Pastor, how, if I worship Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God, is there... Look, my friends, listen to me. Listen closely. There's no competition in the Godhead. They're three and one. When you worship Jesus, you're worshiping God, the Holy Spirit. When you worship the Holy Spirit, you're worshiping Jesus. They're three, but they're three and one. And God, accept your praise. When you begin to worship, that's your act of obedience. That's when you begin to take the cup and you begin to pour. That's what this worship is going to do this morning. It's going to cause you to start pouring. What you thought was all you had left is going to be a supply that will never run out. If you believe that, lift your hands to the Lord right now. Be obedient. It's just saying, I surrender to you. God, I surrender to you.
Hallelujah.